Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas. Coming up later on in the show, we will be changing the review format of the program a bit. We will be checking out the new theatrical film Fright Night, starring Colin Farrell, but we're going to make room as well for some reviews of recently released DVDs and Blu-rays, give you some rental suggestions, perhaps, if you're not able to actually make it out to the movie theater, and kind of expand our coverage a bit in that portion of the program. So hopefully you'll enjoy that. But right now, on the musical side of things, we're wrapping up our series, spotlighting the music from the Harry Potter franchise. We move into our fourth and final installment of that series. And the final two scores for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Parts 1 and 2 were written by French composer Alexandre Desplat. And really some fine work, short of getting John Williams back, which I think would have been ideal. Desplat did a splendid job and was a great choice for the final two films. His music for the last two movies perhaps doesn't have as strong a thematic identity as some of the earlier scores, but Desplat's actual writing is so rich and so nuanced and so subtle in places that it's really a wonderful musical experience. And the best way to experiencing these scores is on album, but because you really get the full kind of thematic picture of what he's trying to do. But we are going to present some of the highlights, and I do hope that you'll enjoy it. We're going to begin with his opening cue from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1, the cue which I think presents his most striking thematic idea for that score. It's a piece called Obliviate. Take a listen. That's the Obliviate theme from Alexandre Desplat, used in quieter forms when it reappears in the score for the most part. We might touch on some of those later on. One of the warmer ideas, perhaps the warmest idea in the entire score, is a theme that's heard most prominently in a piece called At the Burrow, which is reminiscent of John Williams during some of its portions. Let's take a listen.
Thank you.
the nature of Desplat's music for the villainous characters in the film, Voldemort and his many forces, varies a bit over the course of the score. One of the more prominent pieces along those lines is a selection entitled Snape to Malfoy Manor. Enjoy. A splendid, mysterious composition from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. I really like that piece. Next up, one of the more prominent action cues in the score. This is the impressive Sky Battle.
Thank you.
Sky Battle from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1, very reminiscent at times, again, of Mr. John Williams, particularly some of the action music he's written for films in more recent years, like Revenge of the Sith, Minority Report, and War of the Worlds. Next up, a piece that actually reminds me of Jerry Goldsmith just a bit. It has some rhythms quite similar to some ideas Goldsmith employs in Total Recall, but this is a piece written for the Ministry of Magic. There are some quiet passages in this score that just have a level of depth and maturity to them that much of the music in the earlier films lacks. This is one such piece, a very moving, but again, understated piece entitled Ron Leaves. Desplat does make time to create a new theme for a new character in the film, Mr. Xenophilius Lovegood, And it's a sort of a strange off-kilter theme, has some unusual Latin rhythms, some offbeat instrumentation in there, but always interesting. Take a listen. So there you go, the unusual theme for Mr. Lovegood. Next up, we have, I suppose, the emotional capper of the score, a moving piece called Farewell to Dobby. Take a listen.
Thank you.
Farewell to Dobby, a very touching finish to our exploration of the music from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. Now time to move along to Part 2, also scored by Mr. Desplat, and an even stronger effort, one which really brings this franchise to a very satisfying musical conclusion, and just a superb score, a terrific piece of writing. Man, so many great ideas in this outing, and I won't have time to present them all here, but we'll touch on some of the highlights. The primary emotional idea for this particular score is a very subtle little piece called Lily's Theme, which Desplat appropriately uses to open the album. It features some ethereal female vocals and has kind of a vaguely Celtic feel to it. Take a listen. Lily's Theme appears again in considerably bolder, more soaring form in a splendid, if brief, piece entitled Dragon Flight. Take a listen. You're listening to the Sounds and Sights of Cinema here on WHIE Radio and DVDVerdict.com. I'm your host, Clark Douglas, and we're spotlighting music from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 right now on the program. Next up, a quartet of brief but very compelling action cues. We're just going to feature them back to back to back to back since they're fairly short and they have a lot of thematic connection to each other. But hopefully it will form one genuinely thrilling action sequence here, and I do hope you'll enjoy it. This is Statues, Battlefield, Broomsticks and Fire, and Courtyard Apocalypse. Take a listen.
Thank you.
A spectacular string of action pieces from Alexander Desplat, written for Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. Really stirring stuff there. Gets the job done quite nicely. Let's move to something a little more tender. This is just a beautiful piece and takes on a number of different colors and ideas over the course of its 6-minute running time. This composition is entitled Severus and Lily. That's the wonderful Severus and Lily from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. And we'll include our exploration of that score with two very conclusive cues in which Desplat throws out a whole bunch of ideas that he's introduced over the course of the final two films in the series. This is Showdown and Voldemort's End. Many fireworks ensue. Take a listen.
Thank you.
And that's music from Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. I certainly do hope you've enjoyed this four-part exploration of the music from the Harry Potter franchise. Certainly some highs and a few lows around the way, but generally splendid music through and through. Well, it's time for the review portion of the program, and as I indicated earlier in the show, we have changed up the format a bit. We're still reviewing theatrical releases, but also checking out some DVDs and Blu-rays, so those of you looking for something to rent can peruse through the available options. If you've never seen the Coen brothers' The Big Lebowski before, that's something which must be corrected. An odd, superbly written, farcical modern noir of sorts, the film is the rare comedy which somehow grows increasingly hilarious with repeat viewings. It also boasts Jeff Bridges' most iconic performance as The Dude, a middle-aged L.A. slacker who wanders through the loopy plot in a stoned state of bewilderment. He receives fine support from John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Julianne Moore, David Huddleston, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Ben Gazzara, Sam Elliott, John Turturro, and John Polito, all of whom do splendid work in a series of increasingly colorful supporting roles. The film has received multiple DVD releases in the past, but is now being made available on Blu-ray for those of you who prefer your stoner comedies in high definition. Those in the mood for a more traditional noir should check out the new DVD and Blu-ray release of Stanley Kubrick's The Killing, the director's third film but his first masterpiece. It's a lean, efficiently told story about a group of small-time crooks, led by a very effective Sterling Hayden, plotting the biggest heist of their lives. Though the basic plot outline isn't anything revolutionary, Kubrick's striking use of non-linear storytelling, distinctive visual style, and atypical empathy for his characters, not to mention some terrific dialogue courtesy of crime novelist Jim Thompson, transform the film into an unforgettable experience. Additionally, Criterion's new release of the film includes Kubrick's second film, Killer's Kiss, as a bonus feature. While Killer's Kiss is nowhere near the quality level of The Killing, it's still an interesting little B-movie which is worth a look. The Killing isn't the only early film from a great director being released by Criterion this week. They've also produced a new release of Roman Polanski's Cul-de-Sac, a very peculiar and absorbing comic thriller of sorts, starring Donald Pleasence and Lionel Stander. The film tells the story of an English man and his young French wife being held hostage in their own lavish home by a dim-witted American gangster. Cul-de-Sac wanders in a series of unexpected directions, both sinister and silly, but the highlight is a lengthy comic sequence in which our trio is interrupted by a quintet of unexpected guests. It's too inconsistent to rank as one of Polanski's best films, but it's worth checking out nonetheless. Even if you wrinkle your nose at the idea of prim and proper costume dramas, you may want to consider giving the latest adaptation of Jane Eyre a look. Starring an admirably restrained Mia Wasikowska and a smoldering Michael Fassbender as Jane and Mr. Rochester, respectively, this quietly passionate adaptation of the story ranks as one of the strongest to date. It's also a feast for the eyes and ears, as the beautiful, naturally lit cinematography and Dario Marianelli's aching score cast a spell on the viewer which is hard to shake. This is how you adapt a piece of classic literature. If you're looking for something for the kids, you may be aware of the fact that Hoodwinked 2, Hood vs. Evil, is now available on DVD and Blu-ray. The film follows the events of its predecessor by sending Little Red Riding Hood on a mission to rescue her granny from a villainous witch. Unfortunately, the film is a considerable step down from the unexpectedly charming Hoodwinked, trading in that film's sense of clever wit for a tiresome, desperate mania. The young ones will probably have a decent time, but you could do a whole lot better. Slightly superior options are the two Muppet movies which have just been released on Blu-ray. The better of the two is The Muppets Take Manhattan, which follows our favorite puppets as they work their way towards becoming stars on Broadway. It doesn't quite have the spark of The Muppet Movie or The Great Muppet Caper, but it's a rather entertaining way to pass 90 minutes. The second film is Muppets from Space, which is probably the weakest of the Muppet theatrical releases to date. Even so, it's a step up from most of the recent Muppet television specials, and it gives viewers a chance to spend a bit more time than usual with Gonzo, the world's most lovable masochist. Opening in theaters this week is Fright Night, a remake of the 1985 film of the same name. Anton Yelchin plays a teenager who begins to suspect that his next-door neighbor Jerry, played by Colin Farrell, may be a vampire, and soon finds himself engaged in a very dangerous game of cat and mouse. Though it's technically a horror film, Fright Night has a playful sense of humor, and never takes itself too seriously. While it does fall into the exasperating trap of requiring its characters to occasionally act stupid in order to advance the plot, the solid performances and generally enjoyable tone go a long way towards making Fright Night an engaging experience. Colin Farrell demonstrates both a commanding screen presence and some pristine comic timing as the film's central villain, and the film also boasts a delightful supporting turn from David Tennant as a Chris Angel-like magician who also happens to be a vampire expert of sorts. The film doesn't hold up too well in retrospect. It does commit the nearly unforgivable sin of wasting the gifted Toni Collette, but it's a lightweight pleasure which should please those who enjoy some giggles with their gore. I give it a rating of 2.5 stars out of 4. And that concludes our time together on the program today. I do hope you've enjoyed the show and that you'll join us again next week for more music and movie reviews. Have a splendid week, everyone. Back at you later.
Have my love, it fits you like a glove. Joy my dream, tell me yes. Bail out should there be a mess. The pieces you don't need are mine. Take my time, I'll show you cloud nine. My smile and my heart, they be yours from the start. The pieces to me are mine. Have my love, use it while it does you good. Share my highs, but the times that you hurt's pain on mine. Those pieces you don't need are mine. I'll see you there on cloud nine. All your own. And if you want to quit, that's fine.